Well, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Revelation, and we're going to be looking at chapter 13, at least the first part of chapter 13 tonight. Revelation 13. Again, just in review of where we've been thus far, I know that this chart is difficult to read totally, but here we have a kind of an overview of the whole book of the Revelation. And what was a key verse to the book of the Revelation when we first started eons ago, when we first started this study? What was one of the key verses? Yes, 119. 119 of Revelation is a key verse. And that verse says, "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." And so that kind of gives us a brief outline of what we're going to find in the book. We find the things which he has seen. And what chapters does that cover? One, it's the vision of the glorified Christ in chapter 1. So he's writing the things which he has seen. Which chapters are the things which are? 2 and 3 are the chapters that deal with the seven churches of Asia Minor. So as you look up here on your chart, you have Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea. So you have the seven churches. And so we studied the seven letters to the seven churches. And then starting in chapter 4, we have the things which shall be hereafter. And so all of the rest of this kind of purple line here says the things which shall be hereafter. And what we have starting here and on over to here, this whole period in here we call the tribulation period. And so we have the 7-year tribulation period. And we are still right about in the middle of that tribulation period, right about in here. Last week we studied the war in heaven, and who won that battle? Christ and Michael and the angels. And what happened to Satan? He was cast down to the earth. And so remember, this is up in heaven and this is down here, things that are happening on the earth. And so we have right in the middle of the chart here, we have a dragon and we have a woman with wings, and that's not an angel. Who do we believe that's probably referring to? The nation of Israel. As Satan now, cast on the earth, is still furious and he is lashing out against the nation of Israel. And where does Israel flee? Into the wilderness. Now we suggested perhaps that that might be Petra. And we showed you some pictures last week of Petra. But they flee into the wilderness. And Satan's attacks are not over yet. In fact, we still are in that period of time when the final woes are going to take place, and we're going to see all of the things even getting worse and worse, because it's called the last half of the tribulation. It's called the Great Tribulation. And then we will see the seven vile judgments that we poured out. And so we're still right here in this portion, right in the middle of our chart. And we have the rest of the book of the Revelation to go here. But we will be looking at two beasts. And where do these two beasts come from? One comes out of the sea. And where does the other come from? Out of the land or out of the earth. And so notice in verses 1 through 10, let's just look at that carefully. So you're over in Revelation chapter 13. And so we have the beast that I saw upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast. Excuse me, I stood upon the sand of the sea and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. And it gives a description of this beast. And then a little later, verse 11, it says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth." And he gives a description of this at this beast as well. And so in this chapter, we're going to be looking at two more of the players. Someone has called this the unholy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit make up the Holy Trinity. And we have here three that make up the unholy Trinity. We have the dragon, we have the beast, and we have the false prophet. And so we have this satanic Trinity that we'll be studying about for a little bit here in the book of the Revelation. Now, if you'll take your study sheet number 13, this is they correspond with the chapters. Each time we've given you a study sheet just on that particular chapter, you'll see that this whole chapter is about these two beasts that are working along under the power of Satan and have come to continue their terrible ministry here on the earth and their oppression and their deception and their deceit will be poured out here upon the earth. And just looking at the outline, we're not going to look in detail yet, but just looking at the outline, you have letter A of the first beast out of the sea. You have the beast's symbolic description. You have the beast's wounds and worship. You have the beast's blasphemies and boundaries. And you have the beast's war and worship. And then you have the beast's warning and ruin. And so we have quite a detailed description of the activity and the appearance and the description of this false beast, this one that we believe is the Antichrist. And then you have, secondly, the last half of the chapter, you have the beast out of the earth, and you have that beast's symbolic description. You have the beast's sevenfold duties, and you have the beast's symbolic number. And what is that symbolic number? 666. If anybody knows anything about prophecy, they know about the number 666. I went to the grocery store one time, and my change was going to come up as $6.66. And the cashier didn't want to give me $6.66. She gave me $6.67. Because she was, oh, that terrible number, 666, you know. And certainly it is a very terrible number, but it's not a number that we need to fear, because where are we going to be during this time? We're already going to be raptured in heaven. And so those of us who know the Lord, we will not be here during this time, during this tribulation period. And so This number is not going to affect us, but it's certainly going to have an effect upon this earth. And so we keep that and look it over and study it and use it to understand a few things. But I want us to go to our supplement sheet, because I want you to look at a few things there with me tonight. And what is this book that we're studying? The revelation of Jesus Christ. And what we have attempted to do, and I hope we've been successful in doing that, is to see Jesus Christ in every one of these chapters. And to see the glory of Christ and the authority of Christ and the power of Christ. And we're going to see how we can escape the mark of the beast. And you know how you escape the mark of the beast? By understanding the genuineness of Jesus Christ. By understanding the realities of who Jesus Christ is how you escape the mark of the beast. Now, let's just read the first 10 verses, because I know we're not going to get any further than that, if that far, tonight. Let's go to Revelation 13, 1 through 10. It says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea." Who's this I? John. It's John who's giving us. So John stood upon the sand of the sea, and he saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Who's the dragon? Satan. All right, so Satan is the dragon, and he is giving this one that rises up out of the sea, he's giving him his power and his seat and his authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. How long is 42 months? 3.5 years. So that's the last half of the tribulation period, the last 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him make war with the saints. Which saints? Tribulation saints, not saints in this church age, because we're already going to be in heaven, but tribulation saints. And to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. And he that killeth with the sword will be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So we have this very descriptive identification given to us of this one that rises out of the sea, this beast, they call it, that rises out of the sea. Do you recognize any other symbolism going on here that you may have recognized or studied in any other books of the Bible? I'm trying to lead you with that question. Any similar descriptions to anything we find in the book of Daniel? We find the beasts in Daniel. We find the leopard and the bear and the lion. So we find lots of similar descriptions given in the book of Daniel. In fact, if you look at your chart, you will see right here in the bottom, what are these things right here? Some of the symbols that we see from the book of Daniel. And so we will be tying in some of these same beasts that we see here in the book of Daniel with those that are described here in the book of the Revelation. And there's quite a parallel going on here between these two books. Now imagine with me, and I'm going back to your notes a minute for now, imagine with me for a moment, if you could take a world leader, and this world leader was kind of a culmination of all kinds of world leaders rolled into one. And so we find this world leader having the strength of a Caesar. And we find this world leader having the military genius of Alexander the Great. And we find this world leader having the oratory powers of a Hitler. And we find this one having perhaps the warmth of a Ronald Reagan. And we have him having the ruthless determination of Genghis Khan. I hope you're recognizing all these people, by the way, from history. All right. And then he has the apparent compassion and tenderness of Jesus Christ. You say, impossible. No. This is the type world leader that's going to come onto the scene here in Revelation 13. And unfortunately, the Bible is quite clear that this kind of world leader will arise one day. In fact, he may be walking around the earth even today. Now, I've shared with you, I love to study prophecy, and I've shared with you that Several years ago, I had a book in my library called 88 Reasons Why the Lord is going to Come Back in 1988. Guess what? The author of that book rethought when the Lord didn't come back in 1988. And I missed it. Because when he was counting down the years, when he got to 1 BC and 1 AD, he forgot to have a zero year in the middle between the two. So he said, I missed it by a year. So he republished the book. 89 Reasons Why the Lord is Coming Back in 1989. Guess what? Didn't come back in 1989. And at that time, several prophetic writers were making all kinds of declarations about what they thought would take place. And at that time, I remember reading a book about some who identified the Antichrist as being King Juan Carlos of Spain. And they identified him as a military leader. They identified him as a political leader. They identified him as a religious leader. One of the titles, I don't know if you knew this or not, but one of the titles that the King of Spain has is he's also King of Jerusalem. I don't know why they have that title, but that is a title that he is given. And so there are all kinds of prophecies going all around that he's the guy. Keep your eye on King Juan Carlos of Spain. He's the Antichrist. Just watch him. And sure enough, for several years in there, during the 90s, King Juan Carlos of Spain's name was in the news quite often. But I don't believe that King Juan Carlos of Spain is the Antichrist. I am now reading a book that is a very intriguing book. It's a book that's showing the similarities between several things happening within Islam. And the theory of the book I'm presently reading is that the Antichrist will be someone who rises out of Islam. And you know what? I have to admit, I am finding the book very, very fascinating. And I've read about two-thirds of the book now, and there's about 600 pages in the book, and it's been fun to read. But I'm not convinced yet that the Antichrist is going to be someone coming up from Islam. I had, previous to some of my recent studies, I had believed that he would probably be a couple of things, perhaps Jewish in background, perhaps some even European Jew. I had concluded certain things because of some study I had done. But you want to know the truth tonight? Your pastor is going to tell you who it is. I don't know. You know, I don't know. And I don't think that we are supposed to know at this point. But I do know this, that this one will one day rise, and he will become the embodiment of someone that we might call the Superman. He is going to be this ultimate one who may come from the battlefield. He may come from the United Nations. And I've even read some who say, well, he may come from a UFO. Do you know how many people in the United States believe in UFOs tonight? In a recent survey, it was over 87% of the people in the United States believe in UFOs. Now, I'm not going to go on a tangent here. That's all I'm going to say about it. I'm not going to go forward with that. But what does that demonstrate, though? That the people are ready to believe anything. You know, our nation is ready to believe what we oftentimes would scoff at and mock at and think is ridiculous. And yet our nation is ready to accept even that. So whether this person rises and even claim to be from somewhere else, you know, if you study what's going on today, you'll soon recognize that there is a movement away from just our global society to a cosmos of beliefs that believe that other planets are inhabited, and we're getting, and so why should we think that a savior could arise from just our planet? They're trying to condition man's thinking to not even be global in nature, but to be the universe in nature. And so here comes one who may have some universal appeal. But what is he more than anything? He is a counterfeit. He is a counterfeit. And how do you always fight against that which is counterfeit? With that which is real. I know I've mentioned this before, but when people are trying to be trained to detect counterfeit money, you know what they let them handle in the training process? Real money, so that when they do touch anything that's counterfeit, they are so familiar with the real that they can immediately detect the counterfeit. You know, there's an element in truth for that, in that for us tonight. You know, that we should be so acquainted with the genuineness of our God and the genuineness of Jesus Christ that the minute anything comes on that's counterfeit, we recognize it. We recognize it. And certainly we have that one who's counterfeit. Now, let's look here, starting back in chapter 12, verse 17. And we're going to fill in a few blanks on your notes here now. We see here that we have, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And so there's this battle going on where Satan is still trying to destroy Israel. And then he sees this vision of this beast rising up out of the sea, and this one who is supposed to have all this great authority. That's the picture we get with the leopard and the bear and the lion, and he gets great power and his seat and great authority. But so the first blank that you can fill in is that Satan's counterfeit authority. This is not proper authority. This is counterfeit authority. Because who is it that we think this beast represents? The Antichrist. And certainly the Antichrist is anti-God. He's anti-Christ. And he now will be putting forth counterfeit authority. And not genuine, because where does he get his authority and his power and his seat? From Satan. And Satan is not the authority. God is the authority. And so this is counterfeit authority. But what happens here in verse 3 and 4 and 5? Well, this counterfeit also does something similar to Christ. What does he do? He gets wounded in one of the heads to the point of what? Death. And then what happens? He is healed and he is resurrected. And so we have here Satan's counterfeit resurrection. And who sees it? Who watches all this transpire? The whole world. You know, years and years ago, if you had suggested that the whole world could see one event happening at the same time, we would all think that was ridiculous. But we all recognize that we have instantaneous ability to see everything that's going on, no matter where it's going on in the world today. And certainly the technology is there that when this verse says, and the world wondered after the beast, and they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? And so we have a false resurrection here. But we also have false citizenship. Notice in verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And so, and then it says that we are going to see this great power, and there are going to be people who will be drawn to him because of this great power. And so they are going to become global citizens of the Antichrist's dominion. But it's a counterfeit citizenship. Now, we're going into the second beast for a moment, but I just want to give you two more. This goes into verses 11 through 15. And who is this picturing, the second beast? The false prophet. And so with the false prophet, there's going to be counterfeit worship. And we have a description of that worship taking place here in verse 12. It says, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And so there's going to be a counterfeit worship. And then when you get down to verse 16 and 17, what is going to take place in those verses? The mark of the beast. And what is that? Counterfeit security. By having that mark, you're going to feel like, I'm secure. Look, I've got the mark. And is that mark going to give you any security? No. So all of this that's represented by both of the beasts in this passage is totally counterfeit, because Jesus Christ is the only genuine authority, genuine ruler, that one who had a genuine resurrection, and that one who can give us genuine security, and that one who can, that we should give genuine worship to, because he'll remember way back in chapter 4 and 5, there was a dilemma going on. What was the dilemma in 4 and 5? No one was found worthy to do what? Open the book. And then what happened? The Lord, the Lamb, came before the throne, and everybody fell down and said, oh, worthy is the Lamb, because he is worthy to open the book. And tonight, there's only one who's worthy of that worship, and there's only one who can give us genuine security tonight. And there's only one who's country we should seek for our heavenly citizenship, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So all of the rest of this is just fake, counterfeit, and the world will be fooled, and many will accept him. Now, let's just look at three more verses, and then we'll close for tonight. The world is headed toward unprecedented days of deception. If you could in any way come up with a one-word description of the Antichrist and the false prophet, here's the one word. They get it from Satan, and it's this: deception. Deception. If you study the Satan and his activity, he is a master of deception. And look at these passages of Scripture, and then we'll close for tonight. Matthew 24:24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall what? Deceive the very elect. There shall arise false Christs and false prophets. Well, in this passage in Revelation 13, we're seeing that. The arising of a false Christ, the Antichrist, and the rising of a false prophet. And what could they do if it weren't for God's ministry? Even deceive the elect. So what is their game plan? Deception. That's the game plan. And then look at Luke 21:11. All right, Luke 21:11. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you and deliver you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. So he's talking about end times deception. Verse 8, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. And so what's going to be one of the signs of the end times? Deception, deceiving. And then 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan's, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Deceivableness. Deception. Satan is the expert deceiver. In fact, that's one of his titles. But how do we counteract that? By knowing the genuine. And so on the back side of your sheet, you'll see that to counteract the activity of the deceiver, we have to know the truth and we have to love the truth. And I've given you a list of several passages that give names of God. I think you could probably fill that out on your own. All you have to do is look up the verse and find the name. And how do we know what's genuine? By knowing God. They that know their God will put their trust in him. We sang that tonight, didn't we? They that know thy name will put their trust in thee. And certainly we have one who would deceive the very elect if it were possible. And he wants to deceive even those who name the name of Christ into thinking there's more. There's something else that you need. I'm thinking sometimes about the charismatic movement, and I believe that many within that movement genuinely know Christ, but they have been confused to think that they need something else, something more. And we don't. Christ is what we need tonight. And the genuineness of Christ. His genuineness is how we can escape the mark of the beast, by knowing him and serving him. We're going to come back to this passage next week and add some more study to this 13th chapter of the book of the Revelation. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for these wonderful truths tonight, that we have security in Christ tonight. We know the reality of God through Christ tonight. Pray that we might not be deceived by that which goes on around us today. We pray that we might know truth, and truth will set us free. And so I pray that we might be people of the book, people who know their God, people who love and serve their God. And I pray that you will empower us to carry forth your work in this neighborhood and in this city and this area. May we be those who represent you effectively to others. Father, we thank you again for our missionaries who are doing the same in foreign lands and in other places here in the United States. And I pray that you'll bless them tonight. Keep your hand upon them. Father, we pray for Rick Enerline, who this week had that surgery. And I pray that you will help him to heal and that his ministry will be able to continue on. And we also pray for Arlene Blood and know that she has some eye issues and some problems there, and I pray that you'll just bring healing to her eye as well. So bless us as we return to our homes tonight. Thank you for this time together in your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.